Koketso Sachane on SAFM.
It is a meeting point on SAFM. It was, of course, on this day in 1960 that we bore witness to the Sharpeville massacre, a total of 249 victims, including 29 children, 69 people killed, 180 of them injured, and many shot in the back as they fled. This is but one of the stories that, when we look at the history of our country, we remember the sacrifices of those who endured, those who died for the freedoms that we have today. And it is post-1994, of course, that we have the constitution that we do, which, if I remember correctly, it was signed in on the 8th of May in 1996. It is because of our constitution that we endure or enjoy the rights that we do. But as we reflect on 30 years of democracy, the question is, how do we take stock of how far we've come in terms of our human rights over the past 30 years? Joining us now on the line, Human Rights Commissioner Aseza Gungubele is with us. Thank you very much, Commissioner, for making time. Good evening. Okay, I think we are yet to connect with Commissioner Aseza Gungubele. In the meantime, I'd like to take your thoughts on this. I remember it was last week, I think, where we shared with you snippets of what former President Thabo Mbeki had to say when discussing how, as a nation, we reflect on the 30 years of democracy. He spoke of the three ages, if you remember, 1994 to 2007, 2007 to 2022, and now, as we lead up to the 27th of April, it will be the third age, at least according to what the former president had to say. If one were to apply the lens of human rights in our country, reflecting on the past 30 years, what rights have you enjoyed as a citizen post-1994? And when we are talking about human rights, what exactly are we discussing? Do we have a reality, at least in some communities, where your lived experience says that which is enshrined in the Constitution does not speak to me when speaking of human rights? Like to get you to be part of the conversation with Commissioner Aseza Gungubele, who joins us now on the line. Commissioner, thank you very much for making time. Good evening.
Good evening to you, Keketso. Good evening to the listeners of
ASN. I must admit, Commissioner, I never know. Does one actually say Happy Human Rights Day on a day like this?
Keketso, yes. South Africans have a right to celebrate and say Happy Human Rights Day. We are coming from a very rough patch. We know that in South Africa, most of us, majority of people of South Africa, had not had rights before. But through the sacrifice and those that have died, as we've mentioned earlier on the Sharpeville and Langa, today you have rights, all of us, in that contained in the Chapter 2 of the Constitution, that is on the Bill of Rights. So we have a right to say Human Rights Day.
When one looks at the rights that we have enjoyed, and rightfully so, Commissioner, because if one were to compare where we come from as a people, as a nation, and then post-94 with, of course, the Constitution in 96 and the Bill of Rights, as you rightfully mentioned, it is worth celebrating. It should be celebrated when one compares what we have versus how far we've come. But can we confidently say that all South Africans enjoy those human rights in 2024?
We must say that, of course, there's many strikes that have been done towards the human rights. However, as we have mentioned, we have improved in a couple of years, but of course we have regressed in a couple of years. And if I may allow to mention that there must be some few issues of water connection and sewage bills in our community. However, the majority of South Africans, they do have rights, and they do have enjoyed some important rights like freedom of association, a political association, and also they have decent housing. But of course, there's something that we can do, we can improve the situation.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very important, and it is very much a nuanced conversation, Commissioner, where one cannot and should not outright, because of what might be the challenges right now, outright dismiss the fact that we have made those strides. It does, however, present something of a difficulty if, for example, when one looks at what is enshrined in terms of the Bill of Rights, for example, around human dignity, everyone has inherent dignity and the right to have their dignity respected and protected. Unfortunately, that doesn't always apply. And I'm trying not to harp on this, but rather highlighting in drawing from what the former President Thabo Mbeki said last week and many others, that when talking about 30 years of democracy, how far we've come, if one were to look at it through the lens of human rights, there are the strides that have happened, but at the same time, there are the difficulties that continue to live with us.
No, indeed, Kekepo. I think you have mentioned a very important one. Thank you for that. The human dignity is the cornerstone of the human rights. I think as South Africans, as I've mentioned, all, in particular, when you speak about the issue of the domestic services, we, as a commission, we have also engaged on that issue, and we have identified that the key point that if we're the commission, there's no human dignity in the country, there's no need of us existence. So what we have done as a commission, we think they've very proactive on dealing with such issues when it comes to the human dignity. What we have said, the commission in the past, in fact, we're still doing it now. The commission will have just collected data, collected information through the complaints, and then follow on the complaints. But the new court of commissioners that were recently appointed by parliament, led by the chairperson, by Christopher, he said, look, we need to reposition the commission, and he said, we need to be proactive. So what do we do now? We straight. Where the commission must be people-centered. So we do not have to wait for people to complain. Go straight to where we think the problem is, unannounced, attend those issues. For instance, we've been across the country, we've been following the recent news, we've been chased at NTPM, where we have decisively dealt with the water issue. Myself, I've been doing the farm areas in the Western Cape where people have no water, they have no sanitation, and where they're housing. So we are dealing with those issues, but we don't wait for complaints anymore. We do that and just attend the matters and the issues so that people can have a human dignity. I think that's very fundamental, a human right.
If one were to take stock, and of course one acknowledges, Commissioner, as a Chapter 9 institution, the role of the Human Rights Commission and the work that you've done over the years, if one were to take stock over the past 30 years in terms of the work of the Human Rights Commission, what story, if any, does it tell of what has been the experience of South Africans when it comes to the protection of their human rights? And I'm asking this through what you as a commission have done, what you have found, and the type of complaints that you've had to deal with. What story does it tell over the past 30 years?
Look, the story is very simple. There are many issues that have to deal with the rights of the South Africans. There's been many violations of the rights of the South Africans. And of course, the leading the government have also not attended some many issues that are basic rights of the human rights. So there's been those issues that have been there. So as the commission, we have what we did, we have also tried to also other Chapter 9 institutions that might be doing the similar work with us, create a coordination team so that we can be able to work and find each other issues of commonality. But also what we do, the commission empowers us to hold government accountable, to do all the oversight on government, on virtual on issues of service delivery. So what the story that have come in terms of protection of human rights, we have observed that even when the commission sometimes makes recommendations, the government takes time to implement those recommendations. So that's the story that the things that we've picked up as we're moving forward. So that's the thing that the commission that we need to do. But of course, in overall, of course, the commission has been busy. People have been, general society has been raising their issues of that not being attended by government. But that's what we can be saying in this stage.
And what you just mentioned about the reports of the commission at times being ignored is a matter that we have previously discussed with your fellow commissioner, Reverend Chris Nissen. And I remember even at the time when we discussed it, we spoke of the need for the Human Rights Commission to have, and for lack of a better example, more teeth. And I'm reminded of this, linking it to what you said earlier on about the repositioning of the commission itself and not waiting for complaints. But beyond that, in terms of what you find, especially because of instances where you've had your reports being ignored, whether it's by government or any other entity that you're investigating, what are your current powers to hold those responsible to account in order to protect our human rights and dignity?
I think I must appreciate the question you're asking. It's a very important one, again, once again. I think, as you said, that the commission might be viewed as toothless at some stage. I think you, as the media, we have a role to play, and also so that we can also, in the public space, so that our recommendations, so that they can find expression in the court of law, and so that we, as we speak, we are dealing with that. Officials cannot discuss it now in the court of law, that our recommendation should be binding. I think in general, we need to have support from the public, from the media, from government, so that our recommendation can be binding, so that if when we have found that a violation, that it can be implemented. But what we currently do in that stage, the first stage is want to resolve any matter that might be happened or found between the complainants or this is the local government or whatever it is, then we find a common solution that we mediate that matter. If then we do not find any joy on that process, then we litigate the process. But of course, if the recommendation can be timing, it will assist the commission. As our sister in Chapter 9 institution have to, as you know, that the recommendation is being binding and everyone has to implement it.
Just for clarity, Commissioner, because of course one knows Chapter 9 institutions such as the Public Protector, where their findings are binding, unless, and then of course there's, you know, having to take certain reports and findings on review and whatnot. The fact that the Human Rights Commission, in terms of their report, they're not equally binding on the one hand, that is concerning, especially because of what we're dealing with human rights. But what is required to change the legislation? And I'm asking this knowing that we are now going into elections, and who knows what the makeup of the different lawmakers are going to be in Parliament, and whether or not any of them are speaking of the need to empower the Human Rights Commission. But legally speaking, what needs to change?
It's only Parliament can change the recommendation, and it can be also the people that in the law society or in judiciary, that they can interpret that can say binding. At this stage, it does not have anything, as if you go read on the constitution, does not say anything about binding, but our family. The only Parliament can ask people that.
Right, and we hope that they do. Thank you very much, Commissioner, for making time. And again, happy Human Rights Day to you.
Thank you very much, Kekeso. Happy Human Rights Day to the listeners, to yourself as well. Much appreciation to your family to us.
Thank you. Aseza Kungwele is Commissioner of the Human Rights Commission. That's something to ponder on. The fact that the Human Rights Commission, considering its mandate, does not have, their findings are not binding. And then again, this is another example of many where if we were to look at and listen to those who campaign for our vote on the 29th of May, how many of them are promising to or intending to ensure that the legislation surrounding the powers of the Human Rights Commission leads to the commission itself having their reports be binding, as you know, as we know with other Chapter 9 institutions such as the Public Protector? Your thoughts on this? 086-000-2032. Up next, we talk World Water Day. It is a meeting point on SAFM.